Lord, we do give Thee thanks today that we're found at the feet of Jesus. We thank Thee for a new year begun on the way to heaven. We bless Thee for the fellowship that we have in Christ. How it rejoices our souls that we are found today at the throne of grace. On the way to heaven, numbered among the children of the King, the burden of sin rolled away, our hearts washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within, giving us a new song. We thank Thee, Lord, for a light step now as we walk along the way. We bless Thee that as we go into 1982, we're not going into this year alone. We have the Lord with us. We praise Thee for the atmosphere of heaven every step of the way. And we know, Lord, that if we acknowledge Thee in all our ways, Thou shalt direct our paths. Bless the Lord. O Lord, we would put our lives, therefore, into Thy hand. We would put the work of this congregation into Thy care at the outset of this new year. We desire, Lord, to begin this year with Thee. We desire a closer walk with God than ever before. O Lord, we desire a closer walk with Thee than we ever thought possible. We pray for the breath of God upon us. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray that Thy Word will come with power to every soul. Use Thy Word. Use us each one in Thy service. Guide us through the incoming year. We do ask that this congregation may know Thee. Presence of the Lord going before them. That every family in the congregation too may have God's guidance, God's protection, God's blessing in their going out and coming in through the months of this year. We thank Thee for sparing us to this day, for the health and strength that we do have to come up to the house of God. We bless Thee for the Bible, for the Lord Jesus, who is the central theme in the Holy Scriptures. Help us to love Thee, Lord. Restore to us the joy of Thy salvation. And unto our first love, we beseech Thee. Draw us, Lord, closer to Thy side this day. Make the Word of God to be a blessing and a treasure to us in our own souls. Hear and answer prayer. May others see Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to refer you back to this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want to talk today about biblical cardiology. We're going to make a study of the heart in Scripture. The Bible has a great deal to say about the heart. We're thinking principally today of the heart of a Christian, the heart of the child of God. Here in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the course of our reading in the congregation, we came across three verses, all of them mentioning the heart of the people of God. Verse 13, first of all. Then verse 16, verse 18. Verse 13, first of all. Deuteronomy, while it is a book which commemorates the giving of the law. In fact, the name of Deuteronomy means the second law or the second giving of the law. And therefore, the book of Deuteronomy is a reiteration of the law of God as it was spelled out to the nation of Israel from the peaks of Sinai. But in the course of going through the chapters of Deuteronomy, you must observe the frequent attention that's paid to the state of the heart. And this is an aspect of this book of Deuteronomy that I think is frequently overlooked. The word heart occurs almost 50 times in this book of Deuteronomy. Do you realize that? It's possible for you to be sitting hearing a sermon and letting the words go in one ear and out the other. And even though we had an important thing to say, perhaps if we didn't say it in the right fashion, the words, important as they are, could just slip in the one ear and out the other. But I think I must, by way of repetition, bring your attention back to this fact and show you surely how important this is, that God, in the reiteration of the law, as He spells out His commands for His people ere they enter into the land of promise, that God should mention the state of heart so many, many times, almost 50 times in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find the Lord talking about the heart. We'll take these three references today. Verse 13, read the passage with me. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So, in this chapter, the first thing that we're taught about the heart is, regarding service, we must put the whole heart into what we do for the Lord. The heart often stands for affection. And God calls today for your affection to be centered upon Him. In fact, the Bible says here in the last lines of verse 13 that you must give to the Lord the love of all your heart. The Lord does not permit any of us then to have divided affections. The Lord does not permit you as the child of His love to give your heart to the world one day, your heart to Him the next. How many there are who profess to know the Lord and yet their heart is divided? They have given a great part of their heart over to the things of the world. And if I know human nature, if that's the case with you, you suffer from a divided heart. Half of your heart, we might say, is given to the world and half your heart to the things of God, and that leaves you only half-hearted. You must be aware of that. That means you take your place in the house of God this day as a person rather half-hearted in the service of heaven's King. And the Lord doesn't permit you to engage in His service in that condition of soul. You can't enter into the work of the Lord in a half-hearted way. But I must go further. If you start off being half-hearted, giving half your heart to the Lord, half your heart to the things of the world, you'll not stay that way. It won't be long at all until you've given nearly your whole heart to the world, and only a very tiny fraction of what remains is given to the Lord, if at all. So sooner or later, you'll find you cannot stay half-heartedly in the service of God. You'll give the whole of your heart to the world in due course. You must give all or nothing. You must give all or nothing to the Lord. Listen carefully. If you're going to serve the Lord, put your whole heart into what you do for Him. And the heart, certainly here in verse 13, stands for the love of the Christian for his Savior. I command you this day to love the Lord your God. So God uses the word love here in this verse. You're to love the Lord, and as you serve Him, it's to be a love service. And that love requires all the heart and all the soul, nothing less. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to surrender your life to Him, you must give the Lord all the love of your heart. Verse 16. The heart is mentioned again. Take heed to yourselves. We're very sharp to the practices of others. Naturally, we can spot somebody else's faults a long way before we can spot our own. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You don't need an idol of stone to be guilty of idolatry. You can worship the world without having a shrine set up for the purpose. If your heart is turned aside, if you've lost heart interest in the things of God, then long, long ago, you have forsaken the worship of the Lord. Make no mistake about it. Long, long ago, you have forsaken the worship of the Lord. You don't need a shrine with a stone idol erected in it. You have left the worship of the Lord long, long ago. If your heart is turned aside, if you have lost heart interest in the things of God. Take heed to yourselves then, that your heart be not deceived. Your heart is the Lord's property. Your heart is to be given over to the Lord. You're to serve the Lord with all your affection. You're not to let your heart be manipulated by the world, manipulated by the devil. You're not to let your heart be deceived. So you turn aside. If you're not too clear what it means for the heart to be deceived, the next line certainly makes it clear as to the symptoms. Once your heart is deceived, you start to err with your feet. You turn aside from the way of the Lord. Your heart's deceived. If you're backslidden, cold in soul, your heart is deceived. If you're not following the Lord wholly, if rather you're taken up far too much with the things of the world, make no mistake about it, your heart is deceived. You've turned aside. Then verse 18. Your heart is to be a receptacle for the word of God. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. You see that? Your heart is to be a receptacle. The word of God is to be laid up in your heart there. I wonder what's in your heart. I wonder what you've got in your heart today. There are people who have got bitterness in their heart. There are people who have got wretchedness in their hearts. There are people who have the world in their hearts. But God says in your heart is to be laid up the things of God. Are you doing it? Is the word of God then laid up in your heart? In fact, the scripture says here in verse 18, my words are to be laid up in your heart. And that surely indicates the memorization of scripture. How about starting out in 1982 to memorize a part of the Word of God every day? Lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Use your heart as a receptacle for the words of the Lord. Lay them up in your heart. Bind them upon your hand. Let them be as frontlets between your eyes. God says then, in these three verses that deal with the heart, that our affection, all of it, should be given over to the Lord. We must love Him, serve Him with all the heart. In verse 16, we're reminded not to let the heart be deceived, that we may wander away from God. In verse 18, we're to lay up His words in our heart and in our soul. Let's turn to another passage. It's Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, a very useful reference as to the heart. I remember years ago, early in my ministry, preaching upon this passage. I don't recall now all that I said upon it, but I can still remember the text. I can remember preaching in this verse down in Porto Vogue. I can remember the verse still to this day, and it's far better to remember the verse than it is to remember the sermon. Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oh, listen. Look upon the affairs of the heart, God says. This is a verse that shows us the importance of the heart in the Christian spiritual walk with God. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Look after your heart interests. Look after your heart's affection. Look after your heart relationship with the Lord. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Isn't the Lord advising the child of God here to put a priority on his affections, that his affection may be given over to the Lord. Doesn't God say, keep your heart? Don't be letting your heart get cold. Don't be letting your heart cause your feet to wander astray from God. Keep your heart with all diligence. Oh, keep your heart in tune with God. Keep your heart enjoying a sweet relationship with the Savior. Keep your heart. You're responsible to keep your own heart in a right state with God. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. If the heart isn't right, nothing else will be right. We don't pay over much attention to things in this congregation. I remember hearing one time of a prayer meeting being stopped because the preacher concerned said, there's somebody here with a badge in his lapel. I think rather on recollection now it was a lady. She may have been wearing some kind of little item in her lapel of her jacket. And he had to stop that prayer meeting and say, now we can't pray while you've got that stuck there in your jacket. You have to remove that. So after getting that removed, we presume the prayer meeting went on undisturbed after that. Now you could get all sorts of things removed, but if the heart wasn't put right, you wouldn't be an inch further on. There's little use of attending to externals while we haven't attended to the center part of it all. Get the heart right, everything else will be right. Most churches have clocks in, whether the preacher pays attention to them or not, is another matter. But in one particular church, the clock never seemed to go right. It was always giving the wrong time. Finally, somebody with wit decided to put a little notice up above that clock. And the notice read, when my hands go wrong, the trouble lies deeper. And that was a worthwhile comment. Certainly, when the hands of the clock went wrong, the fault wasn't with the hands. The fault was at the heart of that little piece of machinery. The fault lay at the heart of its mechanism. Now I will say this, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If the heart isn't right, the words of your lips will not be right, the decisions you make will not be right, your life will not be right as a Christian. Out of it are the issues of life. Get the heart right. Get the heart straightened out. And everything else will be well. Get the heart right. So God then pays attention to the heart in Scripture. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Once more, we'll find the importance of the heart. And I have taken these passages today from Deuteronomy chapter 11, from Proverbs chapter 4, now Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, to show you the significance of the heart in the believer's life, how important it is to have the heart right in the Christian. You don't have to wear your hair in a certain way to please the Lord necessarily. It's not a matter of things at all. In the first place, that the believer must get settled. He needs the heart straightened out. If his heart's right, then everything else will go well. The same will be if you're just finding your feet as a young person in life. If your heart's right, if you can keep the heart with all diligence, then your parents will find it easier to talk to you. You will walk with obedience, and I may say also with the smile of the Lord on you. More important than anything else, get the heart right. Acts 13, verse 22, and the latter part of that verse 22 reads, of God's testimony given to David. And God says in verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David is commanded by the Lord in these words because of his condition of heart. You see that? God puts this commendation on David. God gives this special testimony to David because of his condition of heart. David's heart is so wrapped up in the things of God. David's heart is so surrendered to the Lord that God says he's a man after my own heart. Now we have reached, I think, the highest rung of the ladder. What God requires in the life of the believer, if that person is to live a life pleasing to the Lord, is that he may have a heart fashioned after God's own heart. That's what the Lord wants in you and me. That's what the Lord would require of us for 1982. This is a new year sermon. And surely if we are to start off well in spiritual things this year, we should seek a heart after God's own heart. I was thinking this week of quite a number of references through the Scriptures to the heart of the Christian. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Passage that some of you will find very familiar. Nevertheless, it's a key passage on the heart, and we should turn it up just the same. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. If we are to have a heart fashioned after God's own heart, it will be necessary in the first place to have the experience of regeneration, to be born of God's Spirit, to come into possession of a new heart. The new heart is an Old Testament term. Some Christians today have rather tended to despise the counsels of the Old Testament, as if the words of the Old Testament, as if the teaching of the Old Testament wasn't quite up to par with the words and the teaching of the New Testament. I want to disabuse you of that error. I want to tell you that in the Old Testament we have an abundance of Scripture portions which in their simplest form even will lead the believer into green pastures and beside the still waters. Here are precious portions. And in the Old Testament passage before us now is a precious portion. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. God speaks here of a new heart. When you become a Christian, you receive a new heart. Remember that the heart stands for affection. You will get a new heart for the things of God when you come to the Lord. You'll have a new nature. The Lord has changed your nature. He has given you a new heart. He has taken away the stony heart out of your flesh. Now the stony heart is a heart that's hard and unfeeling. A heart that's dead. Dead to the things of God. I suppose I may ask some of you in this congregation today, if you're unconverted, whether you have recognized the fact that you have a heart that's dead to the things of God. The hymns that we sing have very seldom any real appeal for you. You do not tend through the days of the week to sing the songs of Zion. Rather is some worldly song your choice. And the things of God don't really interest you as they should. Isn't that right? I know that in a congregation of this size, there are some men and women in this congregation who have the stony heart still. The Word of God doesn't really interest you. You don't spend time with your Bible. You can get up in the morning, have your breakfast, and go out through the door with not a thought, not a backward glance at your Bible. The Bible sits there in that discarded place where it lies. And if you were to open up the Bible, you wouldn't have any heart interest in it. There's no use you deceiving yourself or deceiving anybody else. You have no heart interest in it. The Word of God doesn't grip your heart. And when you try to read through some of its verses, it doesn't minister to your soul. When you hear the Word of God, it is not with interest. You don't drink in the Word of God as if your very life depended on it. You don't find the Word of God as hidden treasure. David said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. He loved the Word of God. He could find treasure for his soul in the Word of God. Now, is your heart in the Word of God? Have you got a stony heart? Is your heart hardened against the things of the Lord? Come now, let's be honest. Let's face this matter out before the Lord. Do you have a new heart? Can you look back to the time in your life when you were saved? When God gave to you a new heart. And from that moment onwards, you wanted to walk in the ways of the Lord. You didn't want to walk in the ways of the world any longer. When you get a new heart, there is a change, believe me. And God says, I'll take away the stony heart. Instead of living as you did before, where you didn't want the Bible, you didn't want the things of God, you didn't have an interest in the things of God, now your life is made over in you. You want to begin every day with Jesus. You want the Word of God. You want to be in God's presence. You love His name. You love to pray. You love the place of prayer too. I want to add that little bit, just for the benefit of every Christian who's here. If you're weak as a Christian and you're not getting out to the times of prayer, let me ask you, let me counsel you in 1982 to make a new start. And when God has given you this new heart for the things of God, it will lead you to the house of prayer also, so that you can grow in grace there and in the knowledge of the Lord. There's a new heart for the Christian. When he's saved, he gets a new heart. And when he's saved, he gets a praying heart. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. And verse 6. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Something wonderful takes place when you get a new heart from God. In fact, Ezekiel there in that 27th verse foretold the experience of every person in this room born again of God's Spirit. When you got a new heart, God says, I'll put my Spirit within you. There's something that goes along with a new heart. You receive the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in you. You don't get a new heart at your baptism. There are people in this community who are convinced that at baptism, and I'm referring now to infancy, that they received the Holy Spirit and were made partakers of the kingdom of God. There are people still being taught that nonsense. And there are people who still believe it. They believe they received the Holy Spirit at their baptism as a little mite. Then later on they got confirmed. They only got confirmed as sinners. Confirmation won't do you the least bit of good. It'll not advance your soul a quarter of an inch. Or if we have gone metric, it will not advance your soul 1 millimeter toward heaven. Make no mistake about that. Neither baptism nor confirmation will be anything worthwhile to you. Your baptism will not save you. You don't get a new heart in your baptism. You get a new heart when you come to Christ. And when you receive the new heart, God gives the Holy Spirit to dwell there. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, That's what makes you a Christian. You cannot make yourself a Christian. You cannot give to yourself a new heart. You can't change your heart. God says, I will give you a new heart. I will put my Spirit within you. And here in Galatians 4, verse 6, because you are sons, because you have come to Christ, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Now the Lord has come in today. You may know that chorus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Those words express a fact. The Lord does come into your heart. He comes into your heart to take up His residence there. He comes to dwell in your life. And as He comes to dwell in your heart forever, He comes leading you in prayer to the throne of grace, so that the very cry of the Spirit of God indwelling your heart is, Abba, Father. He leads you to pray. The first indication of life in the newborn soul is the heavenward cry, Abba, Father. Are you in praying touch with God? Can you pray? When you try to pray, are you as a million miles away from God? Oh, this is part of the heart work of the Christian. God gives him a new heart. If you're going to be a man after God's own heart, you need the experience of the new birth. Then as the Spirit of God takes up His residence in that heart, He'll be guiding you in prayer. Aye, He'll be driving you. He'll be the holy and the sacred impulse in your praying. He'll drive you to the throne of grace, as well as leading you to the mercy seat, where your heart will be in communion with heaven. Your heart is in touch with God. You see that here in Galatians 4 and 6? It tells us the heart of the believer is in touch with heaven, because the Holy Spirit is there tying that heart and all its affections with the throne of grace. Your heart is bound to the man in the glory. Your heart's in touch. Isn't it good to have your heart in the right place? God says today, keep your heart with all diligence. God wants you to be a man after His own heart. And in these passages that we have looked at today to begin with, we have recognized the importance of the Scripture teaching concerning the heart of the believer. And we will spend a little while next Lord's Day, God willing, meditating on the heart of the Christian. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we do thank Thee for the opportunity and the joy given to us to be in the house of God today. We thank Thee for the hearts of the blood-washed children of God. We thank Thee for the hearts of those who know Thee in this meeting. Bless every soul that truly belongs to the Lord. Lord, we pray for the heart condition of God's people in this house. Lord, bless the hearts of Your people. We thank Thee today for this teaching. We thank Thee, Lord, that if we have learned in Deuteronomy the frequent attention paid to the state of the heart and how You require from us the love of all our heart, O Lord, we pray that You'll bless our heart today. Bless the heart of the people of God in this place. We pray that You'll open up these hearts of ours. Save them, Lord, from being deceived and turned aside after the way of the world. Save us, Lord, from having hollow, empty, critical, bitter hearts. But, O Lord, help us rather to have hearts full of grace. Help us, we pray, to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling there in the heart. And we pray for praying hearts. We pray, Lord, for hearts that are truly in communion with God, for hearts that are in touch with heaven. O bless us today, that our days may be as the days of heaven upon earth. Hear and answer prayer, and separate us now with Thy favor, and through the whole of this new year, in Jesus' name. Amen.